Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And good morning to you, Beth Earlbeck.
Good morning.
And, of course, Beth is the Cass County 4-H and Youth Coordinator. And, of course, we're going to talk about 4-H mostly today, one of my favorite subjects. And it's the time of the year when, hey, we really want kids to know about 4-H.
Yep, now is the perfect time to join 4-H. A lot of clubs are starting their year out, and so it'll be a great place to great time to jump right in and get involved in 4-H.
So who can join 4-H?
Anybody can join 4-H from kindergarten through 12th grade. We have the 4 through 12 is what we call our regular 4-H, our community clubs. And then we also have Clover Kids for kindergartners through 3rd grade. And that's kind of a growing thing in Cass County this year.
Let's talk a little more about Clover Kids. I mean, we've always had some programs for younger kids, and other counties have had Clover Kids, I think, for a while. So it's not a brand new program, but it's really, as you say, getting going in Cass County. So where are they at, and you know, how do kids get involved with Clover Kids?
Well, we have Clover Kids all over the county. We have some that are connected right to a community club. So if there's older siblings that are involved in that 4-H club, or if there's families that know of kids that are in those 4-H clubs, usually, more than likely, they have a Clover Kids club attached to them. Otherwise, we also have clubs that aren't attached to a 4-H club. They're more like an after-school program where they have those caring volunteers, and they do the same things as the other Clover Kids clubs. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of options that way.
Mm-hmm. And are there some already established at some schools or churches, some of those after-school programs?
Well, we have a after-school program down in Cumberland at the library, and we also will have one starting up in Atlantic, working with the Washington Elementary School.
Okay. So what kind of things do Clover Kids do? I mean, they're not going to go out and lead a calf, I hope. It's a little too young for that. And, I know there's lots of other options, but, you know, what kinds of things do they do at their meetings?
They won't lead a calf yet, but maybe someday. Yeah. But they do lots of different activities. A lot of the Clover Kids leaders will have a theme for each month. Usually Clover Kids clubs will meet once a month, and they do different activities. Like in October, they may do learn about pumpkins and learn about how pumpkins are grown, and then do activities related to that. There is also some bug and caterpillar curriculum that's out there that has been used that is great to kind of introduce them to the life cycle of a caterpillar and different things like that. So there's a variety of opportunities and things they learn in Clover Kids.
And that says to me, if there's somebody who would think, well, I'd really like to work with those kids, but I don't have any ideas, they're not out there on their own. You have helps.
Oh, definitely not. We have lots of resources for Clover Kids leaders that are there. And so starting out, they may want to use some of our resources. But then after they feel comfortable with the things they're doing, they start to create their own activities and things like that. So that's, you know, great being creative that way.
Mm-hmm. Ah, and lots of fun to work with those age kids, I think. What about size of groups? Do you give any guidance on that in terms of, I'm just thinking I'd rather have 15 than 30. Any guidance on that?
The ratio for that age group for us the guidelines that we work with are 6 to 1. So for one adult, we want 6 youth that are working with them. And if you get a little bit larger group than that, it'll be okay. But once you get past that group, it starts to get harder to manage it. And I mean, it makes it more fun if you have that medium ratio of 6 to 1.
And that's one of the advantages, I think, of Clover Kids, is that the youth who are in that, those young people, get more individual attention than they might otherwise. That's an assumption I'm making.
Oh, I think so. I think they find that adult that's there, and they look up to that adult and learn about how they care for each other and things like that. And I think it's a great partnership for adults and is also for the mm-hmm. Clover Kids as well.
Okay. So if somebody would like to be a Clover Kid leader, what do they need to do?
All you have to do is contact me at the extension office. Our number is 243-1132. Otherwise, email xcass@iastate.edu. And we'll get you set up with that information.
Okay. And then there's a website for Iowa State and 4-H and Cass County.
Yep, if you search Cass County Extension and Outreach, Iowa State, that'll bring you to it.
Yeah, pretty easy. Just you don't need to remember the address, just put that in your search and you'll find all the staff there, as well as other programs are going on. So it's a really great website to see. So Now, we've talked about those Clover Kids, but you have an ongoing program with those community clubs and the older youth. And, you know, we've talked about a beginning of a year, but it's sort of at the end of a year also.
Yes, our end of the year kind of big boom is our county convention, where the clubs come together and they get recognized for the things they did throughout the year, whether it was at county fair or other activities that they did throughout the year. So it's a great opportunity to kind of showcase what the 4-H'ers do and what those clubs are active in and things like that.
And will there be individual awards given as well as club awards?
Yes, there will. There'll be individual awards for those 4-H members, as well as there's some community members that are selected to get recognized for their contribution to the 4-H program as well. And our county convention is November 3rd, at the Cass County Community Center at 2 p.m.
All right. And I'm guessing anybody can come. It's not just for 4-H members.
Nope. 4-H members, families, community members, anybody that's interested in 4-H and interested in supporting that 4-H program.
Might be a time, if there's somebody new in the community, they might want to come and kind of hear what's all going on. You mentioned that clubs, of course, do things all year long. Do you want to highlight some of the community service activities that some of the clubs have done? I know that many clubs are really into, or I think it's really important to do community service work.
That's one of the great things about 4-H. I think it's the focus of community service and giving back to the communities that they live in, I think, is very important to those 4-H members and those clubs. We have 4-H members, 4-H clubs that were involved in making pillowcases for people in the nursing home, making tie blankets, as well as doing a petting zoo at Orslin's, donating a bench at the fairgrounds and putting work into the fairgrounds to make it more beautiful, like we already have it now, and just different activities like that. There's a wide variety of community service activities that our clubs participate in.
I'm thinking if somebody, some community person says, you know, we really need to have such and such done, they might contact a 4-H club and say, you know, could you help us out here and do a little community service? And so it really does involve the whole community. Beth, let's look ahead. We're visiting with Beth Earlbrook, who is the 4-H Youth Coordinator in Cass County. I want you to look ahead a little bit. You're fairly new on the job yet. You're really going on your own steam. What are some things that you would like to see or in the plans, kind of new things?
Oh, there's a lot that I'm, you know, little things here and there. I would like to get more diversified clubs interested, whether it's we already have a shooting sports club, but whether it's a Lego league or more of a STEM club, things like that. But that will come eventually down the road, I hope. So,
well, you have to have a good base to build from. But you mentioned a STEM club. What does that mean?
STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math. So those type of clubs focus on that, and they may not be the, quote, traditional 4-H'ers, but they still find an interest in 4-H. And that's what the great thing about 4-H is. There's something for everyone, and there's those opportunities out there if you look for them.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a Lego club. Tell us about that.
The first Lego League is correlated with STEM, and they go through and they build things out of Legos, whether they move. They have different competitions and different goals in that. And there's, in other counties that I've talked to, there is a wide interest in that. So I'm hoping that that'll be something that'll be interesting in Cass County as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people who see Legos think, well, you know, that's just sort of like building blocks. But it goes way mm-hmm. beyond just putting a few Legos together.
Oh, yes, definitely. It takes the mindset on how to build that. And, I mean, it can be pretty intense and pretty interesting, the things that those 4-H'ers come up with.
Okay. So if people want more information about 4-H or other youth programs, because you work with other groups, I know you work with Laura Canning in terms mm-hmm. of conservation, and you work with other groups. So if people are interested in 4-H, or maybe they see a need in youth programming, what can they do about that?
Contact the Extension office and we can get you directed in the right direction. And if you come up with a program that we don't have, it may be something that we could reach out to and try to figure out and receive those needs.
So check out, if you haven't met Beth, by stop by the Extension office, give her a call, email her. Do you have an email address?
Yes, you can find that on our Extension webpage. Our Extension webpage is extension.iastate.edu/cass.
All right, so just get in contact, check it out, and see what's going on there. And so we want to thank you very much, Beth Earlbrook, for visiting with us. And until next time, here's a thought. The most destructive criticism is indifference.